The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When you consider the reality of how you are supposed to, as a layman, live up to the expectations of Christ, who says to his apostles, "Go, baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you," certainly that is the work of the bishops and the priests who assist them. The work of the laity still is about sharing in that dynamic, but in a different way. How is it that you live your life for Christ as a layman? And some people might make it too complicated. They make it all about the reality of either trying to live like a Carthusian monk, or worse yet, make the approach too secular. But in the mind of the church, and as it has always been ever since she has established her liturgical calendar, that is the way the laity, as well as the clergy, live for Christ. We do so, of course, by virtue of the fact that the whole calendar of the church is tied to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is then tied to feasts of our Lord, our Lady, and, of course, the saints. And so the dynamic for us, then, is to live according to the church's calendar. And a Catholic can let the world know about Christ just by living like a Catholic during particular seasons. The most obvious being Lent, where people see that we do things differently than others, not so much so anymore. Now people know more about the Mohammedan notion of Ramadan than they do about Lent. And people think that's so exotic and wonderful, but of course it was copied from the Catholic Church. Muhammad had taken things from Judaism and Catholicism to form his own so-called religion, which of course it is not. One has to only read the contemporaries, the saints who lived in that time, to recognize that he is a type of antichrist. But for a Catholic, then, to give witness to Christ in the world as a layman is the whole key. So therefore, in Lent, you're living differently than everyone else. I mean, you're supposed to be the whole time, but during Lent in particular, and during Easter, more celebratory. And during Advent, some degree of preparation, so you don't give in to the trick of the enemy to make Christmas come the first day after Thanksgiving, but as a Catholic, you wait until Christmas Eve for the Christmas season to begin. And then you don't give up on December 26th. As a Catholic, you celebrate the Christmas season for the full 12 days of Christmas to Epiphany, and indeed, even in traditional circles, all the way to February 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation, which technically ends the Christmas cycle, at least in the traditional calendar. But too many Catholics don't think that way. Too many Catholics think in terms of fitting in with the world and, of course, being non-offensive to the world, which is why most people don't know if you're Catholic or not, in the conventional sense, because too many Catholics are afraid to be known as Catholics. Too many Catholics are afraid of offending someone who might find Catholicism offensive. Or they go out of their way to underscore the greatness of these other so-called religions. So if you want to live a Catholic life as a layman, you give yourself to the church's calendar. You know the calendar. You celebrate the high feasts, not simply in church, but in your home. And you know the saints' days, especially the saints that are pertinent to yourselves and your family members. You celebrate those saints' days when your children are named after saints, for example, and not hopefully named after a doorknob or an exotic car. Consider the reality, though, of what this means, living by the calendar, in the context of what we are celebrating today, the transferred Feast of the Ascension. Not every diocese in the United States does this. In the East Coast, it's still a holy day of obligation on Thursday, but some dioceses, like ours, chose to move it to Sunday because, unfortunately, Catholics were too lazy to go to Mass on Thursday, so they moved to Sunday with the idea that somehow, at least you won't miss it. But there's something to be said for making the extra sacrifice, which the opportunity presents itself now since we have extraordinary form here, so the holy day would obviously be observed in the extraordinary form as we had Mass, a high Mass at 6:30 last Thursday for the Feast of the Ascension. But I take you to the reality of our Lord's deliberate actions and consider. Consider what our Lord says. This is one of those things that people don't really think much about because too many people don't know the Christ because they've never read Scripture. And then what he actually says. He says, first and foremost, all power on heaven and on earth has been given to me. His Father gave him all power. So in other words, it is Jesus who decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. No one else. And it is Jesus who gives all the graces necessary to get into heaven. Remember, no one falls into hell by accident. People choose hell. And that's part of hell's suffering, the realization that it could have been so easy to get to heaven if I'd merely cooperated with grace, but I chose to be disobedient, I chose to be sinful, I chose to ignore my spiritual life, I chose to ignore my soul, and I made a willful, conscious decision to move away from Christ. That's part of the pain of hell. The fact that you will see all the opportunities God gave you to avoid it. But Christ has that power. Hell need not be the ultimate destiny of anyone. But unfortunately, as Our Lady demonstrated at Fatima, it is the choice. And as our Lord himself said, the path to hell is wide and many are on it. The gate to heaven is narrow and only the strong pass through it, meaning it requires effort, not coasting. So he established then, Christ has all power. It's all been given to him. Therefore, he is the one to whom we listen. No one else can do anything for us because all power on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus by the Father. So then he says, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because without him, there is no salvation. As St. Peter says, the name of Jesus is the only name by which anyone can be saved. So therefore, the apostles were sent throughout the known world at the time to baptize all nations, so they share in the divine life of the Holy Trinity. They actually don't storm heaven by virtue of crashing the gate as though they belong, but because they're baptized, live in a state of grace, they actually have the life of the Holy Trinity within them, which means they are now part of the heavenly cohort. Too many people think, I can name myself part of the heavenly cohort. You can't. You have to be in a state of grace. The key to getting to heaven is to die in a state of grace. The guarantee for hell is to die in a state of unrepentant mortal sin. That's a danger of our modern culture that says so many things aren't a sin, even though the church says they are. And therefore, that would mean that if they do not believe it's a sin, they won't repent of it. And what will happen when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, who knows the truth and taught the truth, and the truth was ignored? But after he says to baptize them, because baptism isn't enough, he says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Not pick and choose what you like, what you don't like. All that I've commanded you. That I have commanded you. Not the apostles making this up. That's why the Holy Spirit is sent upon the apostles and Our Lady. But on the apostles in particular, so that they can be guaranteed to keep the truth, the integrity of what Christ taught, he who has all power on heaven and on earth. The only way to get into heaven is through Christ, so therefore he lays out what you need to know. And that's why he says, observe, teach them to observe. Doesn't mean, here's your catechism, sit it on the bookshelf and look at it. You like the nice green cover. Never open it. You're culpable for yourself if you never open it. You're culpable if you don't know the teachings of the church. Culpable means you're guilty. You can't say it's father's fault, it's a deacon's fault, it's a bishop's fault. Many people want to, but it simply is not, because all the information is there now more than it's ever been. So if you don't know what the church teaches, it is your own fault. Because either A, you haven't asked me, or B, you haven't looked it up in the catechism. And note, our Lord is saying this is important. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Observe, which means live it. It means know it and live it. And then he assures the apostles and us, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, present, really and truly, in the Blessed Sacrament. Nothing our Lord did was unintentional. Nothing our Lord said was without meaning. Our Lord ascended from the Mount of Olives. From where he ascended was above what is called Bethany or Bethania. And that means in Hebrew, house of obedience. Our Lord ascended from the house of obedience. And he commanded the apostles to do these things as he ascended from the house of obedience. Obedience is the key to the Catholic life, and you can't have obedience without humility. And pride is the root of all sin. Humility says the church knows more in her 2,000 years than I do. I'm not going to doubt her. Humility says Jesus wants me to know these things that he's taught. He shows me everything I need to know, and therefore I will get to know these things. I will get to know Scripture. I'll read the Gospels to know him, because he has all power in heaven and on earth. And he wants to save me from myself, my concupiscence, my bend towards sin, and from the evil one himself, who seeks my destruction and yours. He ascended from the house of obedience. So therefore, if you are obedient to the liturgical calendar of the church and you're living the life of the church, people are going to see it. If you are obedient and mindful of obedience, especially on the Feast of the Ascension, imagine how parents can teach their children. On this day above all, you show obedience, willful obedience. Why? Because Jesus ascended from the house of obedience, and you want to be like Jesus. You want to please our Lord. You can use the liturgical seasons to teach your children so many things, but only if you know the calendar of the church and enter into it yourself. Only if you are obedient. Observe, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, our Lord said. So let's be mindful of ourselves, and let's be mindful of what we do know, and be humble enough to acknowledge what we don't know. And then let's go out of our way to make sure we have all the knowledge necessary to achieve that which our Lord desires for us, cooperation with his grace, so that heaven is our ultimate end. And let us not listen to the enemy, who has always been about disobedience. The original sin of Adam and Eve was disobedience. All sin is disobedience, and sin always leads to ruin. But the Christ wants to bring us to eternal life and joy. Let us indeed be mindful of the house of obedience and choose to live in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.